Hey, welcome back, everybody. This is episode 100. Yes.
Woohoo! 100 episodes. Can you believe it?
Episode 100 is Streets and Eats. And today, we kind of thought we would take you to one of our favorite places in Germany as a little bit of a celebration of that 100.
It's a place that a lot of people have heard of and a lot of people want to go. And if you look up places in Germany to go, it's on the list, I guarantee you. So we figure it's a good choice for our 100th anniversary, 100th episode.
100th episode.
It's kind of an anniversary.
Yeah, right? How long has it taken us to get here?
A while.
Yeah, a little while.
A while.
Maybe 2 years. I don't know. Welcome to Streets and Eats, the travel and food podcast dedicated to taking our listeners to the sights, sounds, and flavors of fascinating places near and far, both on and off the beaten path. We're Jim and Corinne Vail, and we've been traveling internationally and domestically together for decades, visiting more than 90 countries in all 50 states in the USA. We'll share all of the local knowledge and food expertise we've gathered through years of living as expats in Asia and Europe, as well as traveling with families spanning multiple generations around the world. Join us each week for a new adventure. Rothenburg Ober der Tauber is definitely one of our favorite places. We've been there over the years. I can't even count how many times.
I have no idea how many times. I can tell you that one of the first times we went, our daughters were toddlers.
Yes.
And now my youngest daughter has a toddler. So that might put it a little bit in perspective for you.
That's pretty good perspective.
Anyway, we've done lots and lots of things there. Every time we go back, we rediscover the charm and rediscover new stories. That's something about revisiting places that I love. You get, you know, when you first go someplace, you're in the moment, you're excited, you get all that surface stuff, and it's awesome. It's great. And if you only go one time, you've had a great time, it's good. But if you get to go again and again and again, that's when you get to delve a little bit deeper. And so the trivia question today.
Okay, I'm ready.
It's about delving a little deeper into the history of Rothenburg. So in the old days, if a city was prosperous, somebody was going to try and take it over. Somebody wanted that wealth, right?
Right.
Today they might do things differently. But back then they just brought some men that they hired. They besieged the castle.
Sure.
So it's after the 30 Years' War.
Okay.
The castle's a bit, you know, worn out. And then along comes Captain Tilly. And he says, I'm going to take over that castle. And he besieges them. How do the Rothenburgers end the siege? If you've lived in Germany as we have, you're going to have lots of little ideas of stories. Because there's always, this is the story you hear in every town. How did the siege end? I had not heard this one before.
Does the siege end with Captain Tilly taking the castle or with the townsfolk?
Oh, he's in charge now.
Oh, okay. So the townsfolk lose. Captain Tilly takes it.
The townsfolk are...
Because it makes a difference.
The townsfolk are SOL.
Because it makes a difference. For instance...
Okay. It makes a difference. When
Bitburg was being sieged in the old days, way back in medieval times... They tricked the enemy by dressing up the children in goat's hides and having them parading around where the enemy could see them. So the enemy eventually thought, well, we'll never starve them out.
They've got goats.
Let's give up. So the townsfolk won.
So if you go to Bitburg, go look for that fountain or that statue in the middle of town.
Definitely. In Wittlich, however, the townsfolk lost when a pig... Well, let's go back a little bit. When they're closing the gates, the kid who was in charge of putting in the final lock, right, through the two pins, couldn't find the lock. All he could find was a carrot, and it fit really good, and it held good. Now, would it have held up to a battering ram? Probably not. But what happened was, again, animals for the siege. You got to have food. In Wittlich, it was pigs. And the pigs were just kind of running around wild, apparently.
And they were probably hungry.
And they were hungry, like everybody else. And one pig found that carrot and ate the carrot out of the lock. The gates opened. The invaders came in. The townsfolk lost. Okay.
And so now today, and we will probably go this year, so be looking for that video. The townspeople still roast pig after pig after pig every year in August.
Mm. As punishment to the pigs, as celebration for...
history.
End of summer. Whatever. Who knows? But it's a fun
anyway, test. So those are, yes, like I said, every town has its own siege story. And this is Rotenburg.
Okay, so this Count Tilly guy, or Captain Tilly, or whatever he was, came along, saw the town and the castle walls were pretty beat up after the 30 Years' War. Thought, I could take this place, lay siege, and the townsfolk, I would guess.
What do you do when you have besieged a town and you've got all these elders and government people, and what do you do with them? You want to?
Off with their heads.
Off with their heads. So they're having a meeting.
Oh, okay. So he's
meeting with the elders. And he's about to kill them all.
And
how do they get out of it? Okay, so that's the spoiler alert. They get out of it. But okay, how?
That's what I need to know. Well, there's this whole little, like, singing thing going on in Rotenburg.
They do have singing things. It has nothing to do with it. Well, it might.
I thought it was like, kind of. They started this singing contest that lasted forever and ever and ever and ever and ever, and he finally gave up on it.
It's more German than that.
Oh.
It's very German.
I'm not sure I can even come up with a good guess.
Well, what's the most German thing you know?
Food.
Food?
Wine.
Wine?
Beer.
Beer.
So.
Ale.
So they drank him under the table.
Almost. Almost.
All right, spill the story.
So what happened was, they were like, oh, spare our lives. We'll do anything. We'll do anything. And, oh, Count Tilly, he was like, you know, he was a jolly old fool, apparently. And he decided that if they could drink a full mass, a full big, huge 3.25 liter mug of ale in one gulp, he would let them go. He would let them live. And good old Mayor George, he did it.
He made it.
He did it. He drank it. He was like, I mean, it was that, or, you know, he died. I'm not a good gulper either, but let me tell you.
Give it a go.
You get a halberd up against my throat, and I probably could work it out.
I'd give it
a go. Anyway, so the mayor of the town, down the beer.
Chug-a-lugs the beer.
Chug-a-lugs. Everybody starts having a party, thus the singing. And they do commemorate it, as they do in many German cities, year after year at the Meistertrunk ceremony. Which is the same, the festival you were thinking of with the singing. Because there is lots of singing and parading and medieval costumes and really cool things. But it's the actual drinking of the beer that's the most important thing there.
So did the count and take over the city?
Or? He did. He took over the city.
It was a peaceful takeover.
Well, I mean, as peaceful as, you know, sieges were back then.
I think in the history of Rotenburg, it kind of, aside from the 30 Years' War, where it was like, you're the Catholic Protestant, and we're going to battle it out
to the death
and take over and then retake over and then retake. I mean, that was constant. But other than that, Rotenburg as a imperial trading city, I think oftentimes did a lot of that, like hand over peacefully because it was in their best interest.
Exactly. Anyway, I thought it was a cute story.
Cute story. Hard question. I didn't know.
It is a hard question, but really, This is how trivia questions go in Germany. They are either super, super simple or super hard. There's not a whole lot of median ground. That's if there fact. Were, I would be asking.
That's a fact. This. And, of course, the longer you've lived in a place, the more you know about it,
the harder it is. Yeah.
Yeah. The larger that pool of easy questions becomes, of
exactly.
course.
Anyway, I like having the thing where I've gotten more right than you.
Yeah, well, you come up with some odd questions, Captain Tilly, Count Tilly, whoever he was.
Captain Count. Anyway.
Anyway.
It's our 100th episode. Rotenburg's our favorite city. Let's talk about it.
It really is, and for good reason. I mean, it's a beautiful walled city.
All the gates are standing.
Yeah.
You can... The town is around, and of course, is quite large, but... you have a definite entrance into the walled city, which is really, really cool. There's this big, the Roden term, there's this other term, there's another term.
Towers all around it.
There's towers, there's parking lots. It makes it pretty easy to get to. And it's actually not far from the train station. So a lot of people like to drive there. And then a lot of people like to take the train. And I think either one is fine. Sure. I mean, if you have a car, driving, of course, makes sense. But if you don't have a car, you don't need it once you're in the walled city.
No, you can't drive there.
You can't. Yeah, everybody else can. With some exceptions. You would think that there would be no cars in there, but there are.
Right.
But it's not going to be you.
No.
And so I think taking the train is not bad. It's like not even a 15-minute walk right to the very, very town hall center of the walled city. And the whole idea of the walled city is, you know, following along the ramparts and the little side streets and the alleyways and all that stuff anyway. And, yeah. So you're going to be wandering and walking anyway. So that extra 7 minutes or whatever it is piece of cake.
For sure. And I mean, it is just, I think the largest, maybe not the largest, but one of the best collections of half timbered houses and, you know, medieval architecture that's still, I say intact, but it's, of course, been attacked over the years over and over again, but rebuilt and expertly rebuilt. You would think that it's like exactly what it was 500, 600 years ago. And it is just beautiful. I like the fact that it's mainly a pedestrian zone inside. You can, like if you're staying in a hotel inside, I think you can get a pass to get you to your hotel if it has parking. But for the most part, you're going to park in one of the big parking lots outside and walk around. And just explore. And you could easily spend a whole day there.
Easily. Well, you could spend a couple of days there. There's beautiful things in the surrounding area as well. There's lots of hiking paths around the ramparts. But I think a good, at least a full day in Rothenburg is well worth it. If you go during a festival time or the Christmas market, then again, you have all of the regular part of Rothenburg
plus
the fest. Yeah. So that makes it even that much more to do. What I like to do, I think you can go, we've been to Rothenburg in the winter, it's gorgeous. We've been in the summer, it's gorgeous. We've been in the spring, guess what? It's gorgeous.
Still gorgeous.
Yeah, I mean, it is just beautiful year round, and it's kind of nice to have that availability to go during different seasons because, you know, then it's different colors and different, it's just different.
It's a different experience.
The summer is gorgeous because all the flower boxes are out. It's just beautiful.
Well, yeah. The flower boxes, late spring through early fall, I mean, they're just decorating the town. Pops of color everywhere. More like waterfalls of color everywhere. There's so many flowers. It's just beautiful.
Yeah, gorgeous. And so really, I can't say the best time to go. I think the best time to go is whenever you can get there.
Yeah.
And I don't care if it's raining. I don't care if it's the dead of winter. We once took a friend who came in February and it was cold and it was sort of brittle, you know, that brittle feeling. But
a little bit
guess
dreary
what?
Even.
There wasn't anybody there.
That's right.
And we went to the museums and we went to the restaurants and we did everything just wandering. We took gorgeous photos with nobody in them. That doesn't happen very often during the year.
And winter has its own personality. So
it does.
Even though the flowers aren't out and the trees are bare, you just get that. I mean, it really feels medieval.
Well, not just that, but the restaurants in that area are Franconian and they're so good at doing seasonal menus. Mm. So you're going to get a completely different menu in the winter than you're going to get in the summer. I mean, some things are the same, of course, but you know, the ones that they know they're going to sell. All year long, schnitzel. You can get a schnitzel.
You can get it all year.
You can get a bratwurst any day of the year. But, you know, you get goose in the winter and you get, fall, you get wild boar or wild deer. In the spring, you get spargel. So it's really kind of nice to go to those restaurants during different times too.
I agree.
Well, so what I was going to say was, I don't know about a season so much. Every season's great. But time of day could make a difference.
Time of day definitely makes a difference. And the only other thing I'd say about the season is most people are going to be planning a trip to Germany and they're going to be looking at a specific time of year that they have available to them. I would just say for me, late spring, early summer is like number one.
It really depends on what you like.
I would say early fall is the number two.
And early fall? Why early fall?
Because the colors are out. It's still warm. It hasn't cooled off a lot, but it's not hot because it can get very hot, actually.
Yeah.
And a little humid.
Well, and I think that you're going to hit, it is one of those places that's overrun with tourists.
Yes.
And that's what I was going to say about time of day.
Yeah.
What typically happens is people do go there on a day trip.
They do.
And so probably starting around 9 o'clock in the morning, 10 o'clock, 9 to 10, you're going to start getting those bus tours arriving. And then by 4 o'clock in the evening, 5 o'clock maybe on some of them, they're going to be exiting the city.
Yeah.
So between, let's say, 9 and 5, normal business hours, it's pretty busy. Crowded. And I'm, except for the dead of winter, like the one time we went, I think really all year long it's going to be that way. I mean, certainly during the week, in the late fall, early spring, it's going to be less so. And so that would be a good time to go. But daytime, during the bulk of the middle of the day, you're going to have bus tours from someplace. So if you can spend the night, that it's very magical because you can walk the ramparts pretty much, I think, until it gets dark. So depending on the time of year, you might have half an hour after the tourists leave, or you might have four hours after the tourists leave. It just really depends. And the same thing with early in the morning. And I love I love getting up early in the morning and going for a walk with my camera.
Yeah.
Because you can almost always get photos of those kinds of places without people in them. And if there are a few other people around, and there always is because people live there, they're walking their dogs, what have you. Or there's a few other tourists who are just like me, you know. But there's not so many that you can't wait for a couple minutes and get your free, you know, scene.
Get a good shot.
So
that
would be the only thing I would really think of if you have the choice.
That's like probably one of our number one tips for visiting a really high tourist concentrated area. Just to spend the night.
Yeah, if you can spend the night. For one thing, it just gives you a sense of relaxation.
Yeah.
You don't have to be like, okay, I've got 4 hours, I've got 6 hours, I've got to hit this, and okay, I got to grab a good lunch, and the absolute best lunch is here, and I'm going to go there, and oh no, it's busy, and yes, I'll wait, and oh, I mean, it just gets, you know, gets frantic sometimes.
Yeah, it really does. And that way, you got the place to yourself, well, not to yourself. There are quite a few accommodation options in Rotenburg, but they're all small. They're all in these historic buildings, so beautiful. There's nothing huge there. And
well, there aren't in the main city.
There are further out.
But within the walled city, you can definitely find good accommodation.
Yeah, but there's not a whole lot. So there will be other people spending the night there too. And there will be other people walking the ramparts with you and exploring the cobblestone streets, going to the restaurants for dinner, but nothing like what you get during the day. And if you're like us and you like to wake up early in the morning with sunrise.
Well, we don't always get up for sunrise.
Well, it gets kind of early in the summertime. So yeah, I'm not going to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning for sunrise. But we do like to wake up early, and a lot of other people don't. So that's the really good time to get out and explore the city.
I think so.
And have a lot of it to yourself. Well, you talked a little bit about getting there. I think most people are going to take the train or the bus, but they've got a lot of people who need to fly into Germany. Somewhere.
That's right. Well, a lot of people are going to Nuremberg. Because Nuremberg is a huge hub for cruise ships.
Yeah, good
for
point.
The river cruises. And it is not far from Nuremberg. And it's an easy train ride from Nuremberg to Rotenburg. And if I were going on a cruise that's down the Danube or somewhere in Germany, I would be going to Rotenburg. And so I would then fly into Nuremberg, which is the best airport to fly into. Better than Munich, better than Frankfurt, and usually somewhat cheaper because I don't know why. But it is.
It is. Doesn't have a lot of like cross the Atlantic flights, if any. But it does have international flights within Europe that go in and out.
It does. Anyway, we love flying in and out of Nuremberg. And it's an easy train ride. And like I said, the train ride to the walled city is an easy walk. So that's one way I would do it.
A lot of people who are taking those cruises, they're doing an add-on or an excursion that takes them out to Rotenburg before they start their cruise or at the end of their cruise, after they have ended their cruise. So that's what a lot of those coaches are, those tour buses are coming from.
So you can do it that way or you can do it on
But you don't have to, you don't have to pay for the excursion. You just take the train. It's only going to cost about $15, $20.
Not much.
Not much.
Not as much as an excursion.
And then once you're there, it's a short walk from the train station and you're right in the town.
parking wise, we already mentioned there's parking areas all around the walled city. And you do have to pay to park there, but it's nominal. I don't think we've paid more than eight euros a day.
Yeah, it's not bad.
It's I mean, cheap.
There's not, in my opinion. Like in some German cities, there's a pretty good system that tells you how many parking spots are available at this lot as you're driving in, and they kind of direct you to where the best parking area is. Rotenburg hasn't gotten quite that advanced yet, but the parking lots are pretty big. And you just kind of look at the map and figure out which one you want. I think we usually park in the P6 and then we walk in through the rotorterm.
Okay. Yeah. I don't pay attention to that. It doesn't really matter because there's parking lots basically at each entryway.
Yeah.
So it just is a matter of where you're going to go enter into it and exit. It's not a big deal.
Yeah. Really easy. Easy place to get to. The only thing I would caution is there are two Rotenburgs.
Oh, yeah. You want to make sure you're going to Rotenburg Ob der Tauber, which means on the Tauber River. I think it's Rotenburg Main, with like Frankfurt Main. You don't want to go there.
No.
It's, I mean, it might be a
city. Maybe it's a great place,
but it's not the city.
No.
So Rotenburg Ob der Tauber.
And that can really mess you up on your GPS. So be careful about that.
So one of the things I love to talk about is food.
Oh, yeah.
And I already mentioned that they do seasonal menus and it's really good. But one of the things that I'm not really a fan of,
yeah,
but it is so Rotenburg, are called
Schneeballen,
which means snowballs. And really what it is a...
Yeah, it's pretty big.
Yeah, it's like a softball. Size. It's like a softball size. And it's basically just folded up and rounded
and
pastry. And then the pastry is either... got nuts and sugar and stuff on it or frosting. And then they, of course, it used to be just that. And now it's expanded to
all kinds of
86 flavors. It's the Baskin Robbins of Germany without any ice cream.
To me, what it kind of reminds me of is like if you were making a pie, like an apple pie or whatever, and you rolled out your dough, then they cut that into like 1-inch strips. And I don't know if it's several strips or if it's just one long strip, and then they just roll it on itself and roll it on, kind of like making a string ball, but it's a pastry ball. And then baked, I'm assuming?
I don't know.
Deep fried? Never seen them actually cooking them. I've seen them decorating them. And then, yeah, they dip it in pink
chocolate frosting. Or chocolate pink frosting.
Roll it in nuts. Roll it in sprinkles. Oh, you can get all kinds
of things. But I got to tell you, for me, it's just not something that calls to me. It's not my favorite thing either. Do I think you should try it? Sure.
Definitely.
Our grandson, AJ, picked a bright pink one, and he loved it. He ate it all through his stroller as we were going through town the whole day, and he, you know, it was fine. But I don't know if I would get, like, a box of six of them or anything. Just try one. The rest of the food in Rotenburg is very Franconian fare, as I mentioned, and it's delicious. I mean, you can get trout, almondine, you can get pork, what we call Schäufele, which is the shoulder bone, and what they do is they leave a little crispy skin on the top. Oh, so good.
Pork shoulder is one of the best cuts of the pork, especially in Germany. And when they roast it just right with that crispy skin on top, it's almost like meat candy.
And the thing is, it's not something that I think a lot of tourists order.
Right.
It's definitely something that a German would order because they know how delicious it is. Sure. And they can say it, Schäufele. And when you read the description, as an American, the first time I read a pork shoulder, I was like,
That's weird.
maybe I'll get something else.
Well, we're all familiar with like the hoxen. And
what is the hoxen?
The hoxen is like the bottom part of the pig's leg with the knuckle and it's not really a knuckle, I guess.
It's kind of a knuckle.
With the knee, I guess. I don't know.
It's
a joint. It's a joint. Nice big chunk of meat at the top that tapers down, of course, with the leg bones. And that is usually like roasted on a spit.
I wouldn't say usually. In Bavaria, oftentimes roasted. But in other places, you'll find that it's boiled.
Boiled or baked.
Or some other.
It's not as good.
And I don't think it's anywhere near as good.
It really needs to be roasted on that spit.
Yeah.
To get the crackling just right.
It's all about the crackling.
The meat is super tender. But that's a huge, huge meal.
It is. Well, even the Schäufele is a big meal, but it's not nearly as big.
Yeah. So with the Schäufele, you get, I think, more tender meat.
Yeah, definitely.
And you still get that strip of crackling. That's just delicious.
So if there's a choice between a Schäufele and a pork knuckle, Haxen, take it from us. Go for the pork knuckle, for the pork shoulder, the Schäufele. And it said, it looks, it's S-C-H-A-U-F-E-L-E. So it looks like Schäufele maybe, but it's got an umlaut over the A. Yeah. So it's Schäufele. And if you say Schäufele, they're going to think you are the best tourist in town, because most people are not going to get that right.
That's right. And it's usually served with
a potato dumpling. But, or what do they call it? Kartoffelklöße.
And a beer sauce, which sounds kind of strange, but it's usually quite delicious. It's a gravy. It's probably got some beer in it, but you certainly would never taste the beer. I don't think. I never have.
No. It's just like a dark brown sauce. Which is great with a potato dumpling.
Yeah.
Although I have to admit, a potato dumpling is also, again, not my favorite thing. I'd much rather have a sauerkraut or Bratkartoffeln or fried potatoes or French fries or something like that. But, you know, you get what you get that comes with it.
Don't bitch a fit.
And but potato dumplings are, even though they're my least favorite, all the other dumplings are my favorites. Like, if you can try a Semmelknödel, which is basically a stuffing dumpling, like breadcrumbs.
Tastes like stuffing.
Oh my goodness. You are going to love it.
But if you can get that potato dumpling with sauerkraut, which often comes with some good sauerkraut.
Or you can ask for
it. And a bite of the meat, and you just make that one perfect bite, soak it in the gravy. Heaven. Heaven on a plate.
Now, as we've gotten older, our portion size that we can handle has gotten smaller.
For sure.
So we've kind of changed the way we eat a little bit. I'm not going to say it's more American or less American or more German or less German.
It's us.
I mean, it's just us. It's just because.
So we'll usually order an appetizer and a main because.
And share both.
The meals are huge here. And we found that that's pretty true everywhere when you go out to eat. It's like they want to make sure you feel like you're getting your money's worth. So they give you large portions. And we can't eat two mains, let alone two appetizers and two mains. But we want to try things. Mm-hmm. So we usually get an appetizer.
I'll order the appetizer.
I'll order the main.
And we tell them, you know, they usually will ask me, say, yeah, we bring it together. I tell them it's my main dish, my Hauptgericht.
Yeah.
Because that's, you know, I'm not going to eat. I'm just not going to eat both. I can't.
Yeah. And it's usually more than enough.
Even then, we don't eat it all sometimes.
Right. But you know what? If you're still hungry,
you can always order more,
but more importantly, you can order dessert.
Dessert, that's right.
Yeah.
And there's always good desserts in this area. Well, I mean, everybody's heard of Apfelstrudel. And they have a lot of things with plums and cherries and I don't even know.
Yeah.
And you really can't go wrong with the desserts. A lot of times you're going to get just ice cream. Okay,
and
here's...
why not?
Here's the best ice cream to get. They call it a heiße Liebe.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically a vanilla ice cream with hot raspberries and whipped cream.
It's delicious.
Okay, maybe you've not really ever thought of having raspberries on ice cream. Maybe you've never thought of having hot raspberries on ice cream. Oh my goodness, try it.
Hot love.
It's a bowl of hunka burning love. It's so delicious.
And if you don't want to have the dessert in the restaurant where you eat your dinner, you go for a stroll, find an Italian gelato place, and get a spaghetti ice.
Yep,
that's
right.
Really good too.
We do have a video coming up on spaghetti ice, so pay attention to that as well.
Oh yeah.
Anyway, the food in Rothenburg is very, very good. But what is there to do?
Well, we mentioned walking the walls.
There's a whole circuit.
The walls are intact around the entire city. So you can climb up on the walls and you can just keep walking all the way around. It takes about 2 hours, 2.5 hours.
Well, it takes me a lot longer because I'm going to take 5,000 pictures along the way.
The views are stunning into the city. And then as you get around to the part overlooking the valley and the Tauber River below, the views are just magical looking out of the walls too. So it's a win-win either way. Plus, you just get to see the architecture from above and It's definitely a great way to go.
There's also a few museums. The most famous museum is the Medieval Criminal Museum. Mm-hmm. And really, if you're looking at things to do in Nuremberg, Obstertauber, it's probably the number one thing that's going to come up. And we've been there, oh gosh, I think we've been there 3 or 4 times.
Actually. We don't go every time that we go to Rotenburg.
Because we've been there.
It just doesn't change that much. They don't have like rotating exhibits or anything like that. But they are, of course, I mean, curating and modifying and changing and updating. So it is worth going back to if you're revisiting the city over the years. I would definitely go back occasionally.
Well, and really, the reason a lot of people go back more than once is they're going with somebody else, somebody different, and everybody's going to want to go there. And kids, especially, you know, mid-teen, teenagers, they love it because it's kind of gory and, mm-hmm. you know, it's like the witch trials in Salem.
Right, right.
It's got that whole sort of feel to it. And a lot of things are about witches and stuff too. So. Yeah.
Well, for me, I'm not really big into like dungeons. So a lot of castles will have like a dungeon that you can go through and you can see some exhibits in the dungeon and you might see like
someone dressed up and they're trying to scare you.
Yeah.
And then you'll see fake weapons and things like that.
They might even have real artifacts.
I'm sure some of them do, yeah.
But the reality of a dungeon in a castle, in a fortified castle especially, or even in a schloss, a palace, it just wasn't really a thing. You didn't keep your prisoners in a dungeon. You might have thrown them down in a hole until you figured out what you're going to do with them. But for the most part, they were either going to become slaves. If they're a nobility, you didn't put them in a dungeon. You kept them in a nice room and ransomed them. So a lot of that's got kind of a fake feel to it, even though they might be real artifacts. So you might see some interesting artifacts, but the idea of what was actually going on there doesn't really hold true. But in the Criminal Museum in Rotenburg, it's a completely different story. The cities did have to deal with criminals. They did have to have a criminal code. They had to have a justice system. Mm-hmm. And that museum, I think, does a fantastic job of telling you all about it, explaining it. It's got good English. It's got good English signage. So you can really kind of get a good sense of what life was like in medieval times in the city. You know, if you were a baker and your loaves were too light, you could be punished for that. Too much water in your beer, things like that.
It's really good stuff. It's got a good reputation for a reason.
Yeah.
People enjoy it of all ages. It's well worth going to. So I would go there. Another museum is the History Museum in the town. And then there's also even a festival museum for the Meistertruck Festival. Mm-hmm. And there's also what they call a Christmas museum, but it's a store, the Kitty Wolf Art Store, which is well worth going to with, you know, all kinds of wooden Christmas ornaments that are fantastic and Christmas pyramids and Germany Christmas stuff, which is really, really unique and worthwhile to buy. But as a museum, I think that's a little bit of a misnomer. But
the other thing you can do in Rotenburg is climb the City Hall Tower.
Oh, yeah.
Get some great views of that. But that
tour, it's an actual tour. It's called the Night Watchman Tour, and you don't have to necessarily take it at night. You took it. I didn't take it.
Oh, no. When I climbed, it was during the Christmas market, and they just had the tower open. You could just climb the tower. And so you pay a couple euros, and then you make your way up the stairs through the attic of the town hall, which was fascinating in and of itself, and then up into the tower, around the spiral steps, up to the top, where you just get this incredible bird's eye view of the city below you. And it's, if you can handle the steps, it's definitely worth it. The town watchman tour. Night watchman tour. There's a couple of old medieval towns in Germany that do that. Mm-hmm. And if you are there at the right time and you can get on that tour, that is a great thing to do.
The only problem with those is most of them are not in English.
A lot of them are not in English. I think Rotenburg does have an English.
So you really, if you want to do something like that, and it's well worth doing, try and find one that's in English.
Yeah, yeah. But they'll take you, the watchman will take you around the town and tell you ghost stories at this building, or, you know, a historical story that happened at this building.
It's a
who
little
is
tour.
Cheating Town who tour. In this building. Yeah.
It's good. They're worth it. They're just nominal fees. They're really not such a big deal. So, of course, there's lots of good shopping in Rotenburg. Not only is the Katie Wolf Art Shop good, there's a wonderful Steiff toy museum, toy store, which Steiff is a very famous stuffed animal business.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's amazing. You really want to go into that store. There's a wooden toy store. There's just really...
Medieval weapons.
lots of artwork.
Dragons.
So it is... I mean, it does... It brings in a lot of tourists, so people are spending money. But really, it does have, I think, maybe a little bit higher level of shopping.
Yeah.
Real German souvenir-y type shopping with good stuff versus... junky souvenirs or stuff that you can get anywhere in any store in any city in the world. So I think it really has a good balance.
And we're not big shoppers.
We're not, but we almost always buy something in Rotenburg. That tells you something.
And we like to go through the shops there because, yeah, you do see a lot of unique stuff that you just don't really see in a lot of other places. So that's really cool. I don't really understand where this whole Christmas theme came from in Rotenburg, but... Christmas stores are a big thing there, especially with Katie Wolfhart. Mm-hmm. I don't believe it's where it started.
I don't think so either.
They've just like taken over
Think that as far as Christmas markets go, Rotenburg's always been considered one of the best ones. And we have been. And it is, dripping. Just dripping with charm.
Charm and romance.
And romance, yeah. I mean, it is on the romantic road. And you walk down into the Christmas market, which is kind of in the middle of town, but there's not enough space.
So it's kind of spread out in other little plots.
So there's in the main part where the town hall is, there's a couple of rows. And then you go behind the town hall and then there's some area over there where there's some rides. And once you wind down, you're going to find like the food area. And then even if you go deep into the food area, way into the back, one of the things we found,
looking for a toilet, we found that.
It was amazing. This was like the best hidden gem ever.
Yeah. I think they call it the Advent's Cafe. And it's in one of the church's community rooms.
Because
and that's where the bathroom is. So that's a good, you want to find that for the bathrooms, if nothing else. So in the community room, they have set up like the local families have
donated their pastries, homemade goods,
cakes,
like a bake sale,
coffee. So you can go in and get coffee and cake.
But their bake sales are not like our bake sales.
Oh, no.
You're not going to get a little plastic baggie with a couple brownies in it.
Rice Krispie treats.
Yeah, you're going to get, they make these torts
are
huge. And they have, a layer of raspberry and a layer of crumb. Oh, my goodness. Mm. And they're all homemade and they're all so good.
They're all delicious.
You get to sit down, which is kind of nice at a Christmas market to be able to go in and warm up and sit down, have a cup of coffee. And it's cheap. We're talking like a year and a half for a slice of cake or 2 euros maybe.
That's a good tip for the Christmas market.
It's a great tip.
In Rotenburg.
And it's a chance for you to get something that, isn't store-bought. So
that's right.
I think that's really nice too.
Yeah, that's a nice change from what you're going to find in the Christmas market fest food, which is very similar.
Which is delicious.
In every Christmas market, you're going to find a lot of the same things.
But you also will find some things that are different.
Occasionally.
So what usually happens is you're going to find your bratwurst, your feuerwurst, your feuerzangenbowls, your glühwein and your hot chocolate and your crepes and your potato pancakes. Those are pretty much everywhere. But then depending on where you are, they're going to have one or two, three.
Maybe a steak sandwich here.
Local things that are just from that area or, in the surrounding little area as well, but a little bit different. So that's another kind of tip. I mean, try all the fast food because, my goodness, it's all good.
I never go to the first food stall that I see when I go to a fest. I want to make sure I've seen all the food stalls and I know exactly what's there and what's available.
And again, only buy one. Don't buy two for your first. You don't need to. Try one because you're going to want to have something over here too.
That's right.
So just buy one.
That's right.
Anyway, the food is good. The Christmas market is interwoven in all these little medieval streets. It's crowded, but it's beautiful.
But it's a fest and it's a market.
And yeah, it's It's really nice. The chestnut train is always there.
Chestnuts roasting over an open fire.
Or a grill.
Or a grill.
Charcoal fire. Something like that.
But yeah, I mean, if you can get to Rodenburg during the Christmas season and go to the Christmas market, you definitely should.
You won't regret it.
We've got a whole article on Bavarian Christmas markets and a good itinerary to take you to 5 of the best. So you might want to check that out. But you don't need to go to Rodenburg at Christmas time. It is beautiful when the flower boxes are out through the late spring and early fall and throughout the summer. You do have to deal with the crowds in the summertime and the high season for sure. But if you follow our tip and spend the night, you're going to have the evening a lot less crowded. Not necessarily to yourself, but it's pretty magical walking around.
It'll still be quiet, I think.
Yeah, it's pretty magical walking around a medieval city in the evening and into the night. It's just beautiful. And then, of course, the morning, you wake up early.
Oh, speaking of being there at night, and you don't have to do this at night, but it's a great thing to do at night. You have to go to the oldest pub in town.
Oh, yeah.
Why did we forget that? Zerhulla. It means hell. To hell. You're going to hell.
Going to hell. That's what happens when you drink.
That's what happens. But it's this cute little pub. It's not in the center of town, so you kind of have to follow a little path to find it, but it's well worth it.
Yeah.
And they've got great, great ale and probably some little snacks to eat.
Pub food.
But yeah, pub food. Like it really, really is pub just snacks. Snacky yeah, if yeah. you're going to do that. I wouldn't eat there, but no. I would definitely go for a beer. So definitely. Go to Zerhulla. I'm glad I thought of that.
Yeah.
The other thing is, you know, Rotenburg is in Bavaria. And Bavaria is one of the most beautiful parts of Germany, in my opinion. I love Germany all over. They all have all the states have their own little personalities and the beautiful castles and everything all over the place. But in Bavaria, you've got Neuschwanstein, the Disney Castle. You've got beautiful hiking. You've got the Alps. You've got Munich. You've got the Oktoberfest. You've got Hofbrauhaus. You've got lots and lots to do. You've got Nuremberg, which is really well known for the World War II memorials and trials.
Plus,
and
it's a beautiful medieval city in it.
In and of itself. As well. That's right.
Yeah.
There's plenty to do. So I think you can easily make an itinerary with Rotenburg on it. I think for our 100th episode of Streets and Eads, it's very deserving. And
I believe it too.
I say go.
All right. Thanks for listening to this episode of Streets and Eads. If you liked what you heard, please show us some love, hit the like button, and leave us a review. Maybe even subscribe so you don't miss any future podcasts. Also, we'd love it if you joined us on our Facebook private group, Streets and Eads, where we just have an ongoing conversation about all things travel. Ciao for now.